Well, God bless you all, and welcome to another wonderful session of the Parables of the Kingdom. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 15. As with all of the parables, or many of the parables that we have seen in the scriptures so far in this class, Matthew chapter 15 has a wonderful parable in it. The parable is very short, but the context is what really illuminates this particular parable. The parable itself is stated in verse 11. He says to them, "Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." That is the parable, that which defiles a man. The context really does explain exactly what is the thing that defiles the man, and it explains really a wonderful issue about the parable. In fact, Peter asked the Lord, after he's done here, Peter asked the Lord, you know, explain to us this parable. And the Lord gets kind of, he says, well, how come you don't understand this? Do you not have understanding, he says to him. But I'm very grateful for Peter's life, because he's there asking the question, and that way I don't have to look like the fool. So in chapter 15, in verse 1, we're going to start with this context here. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why did thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." That is the law. I mean, those who don't honor their father and mother, and those who curse their father and mother, are worthy of death. Verse 5, "But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor is not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings?" I guess they were concerned about the Pharisees. "But he answered and said, Every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not you yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man." And then the Lord departed. In this particular parable, and the context in which it's taught, many people would go to different aspects of this section of Scripture and teach a number of different things. And this is, I just wanted to bring this to your attention. You can either keep a section of Scripture within its context and learn what the Lord thinks is important about it, or you can go off on your own. And you can teach from this section the traditions of men and highlight that aspect of it, that those traditions of men are against the things of God. And you can talk about churches and people's traditions and all different kinds of things. Or you can talk about true worship. All of these truths are in there. But to really understand the central truth that is behind the entire context for this parable, Jesus is talking about not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out. That is what defiles men. What's the context referring to? Jesus Christ is looking at the Pharisees and they ask him a question about going against the traditions of the elders by eating without washing your hands. And he comes back and says to them, he quotes them verses from the Old Testament. He quotes them basic verses, like the Word of God says, and go back to it here, in verse 4, for God commands, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That's what the Word of God says. That's what God has made known in his word. These are the commands from the sovereign, the king. But what did they do? They didn't speak what God said. They spoke what they wanted. They had their own agenda. They changed the word of God and taught people, saying in verse 5, but you say, whosoever shall say unto his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honors not father or mother, he shall be free. What they were teaching was, all right, your folks get old, you start to take care of them. You know what? Everything you give them is a gift. You don't have to honor them anymore. You know, it's a business arrangement. You take care of them now, and it's no longer because you're honoring your father. It's a gift. It's a gift. Instead of what God had said. They changed the word of God. They changed this particular word he confronts them on. And then he makes even greater with more clarity. That which comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. These things that come out of the heart from man that are against God's word, those things he explains and says to Peter when he asks them these things. In verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Those things are contrary to God's word. Murders, obviously contrary to God's word. Adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. That which makes men unclean in the sight of God, that's what the word defiles mean, is to do that which is contrary to God's word. That is what defiles an individual. That is what this parable, the central truth behind this particular parable, Jesus, because Peter asked, thank God he asked. You know, for many years, I didn't even consider this a parable. I didn't even put it together, even though it says Peter asked them about the parable. It just was one verse in the middle of a whole context. There are parables, there are things like that in the scriptures that you just have to, when you study this word and when you study this subject, you have to become aware. Many times, if you're not looking, you don't see. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this class. That's a wonderful parable, isn't it? I really enjoyed that one. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. There are parables that are given, which are spoken of as parables in one gospel, that are not spoken of as parables in other gospels. There are a number of times when Jesus Christ uses and says, he spake a parable unto them. And if you read the other gospels, he makes the same statement, but it's not noted as a parable. So you can be aware of these things. During Jesus Christ's teaching in this particular section of Luke chapter 6, we're going to start with the context here. And the parable is in verse 39, by the way. Let's read that first. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? And shall they not both fall into the ditch? That's the parable. Nice, short, sweet, and certainly understandable. But again, let's go back to the context because it makes it really rich. In verse 36, be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Jesus Christ is teaching in this section many of the same truths that he taught at the Sermon on the Mount. This is a different day, different setting, different everything. But what was important to the Lord Jesus Christ, many times he taught the parables and he taught the same teachings at different locations during his ministry. Verse 36, be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. That could be considered, it's like a parable. This is like that, except you should be like him. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? And shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceive not the beam that is in thy own eye? Neither, how can thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite! Cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then this last phrase here, this last verse I'm going to read. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The context in this particular setting of the teaching, there are many truths that are in this teaching. When he speaks this parable, he says unto them, in verse 39, he says, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now, I think we read that also just a little bit ago, that particular saying in Matthew chapter 15, didn't we? And he used that in Matthew chapter 15 to speak of the Pharisees who lead other people. And he said, leave them alone. They're like the blind that lead the blind. They're not going anywhere. Because it's for nothing. It's useless to follow these people. He wasn't concerned about them being offended because God was offended by them. But here in Luke 6, he says the similar saying, which is applied in a different way. He said unto them, you know, this is how you are to live. In 37, judge not. In 38, give, and it's going to be given unto you. In fact, it's going to be given unto you abundantly. And then he gives this parable, and he says in verse 40, which is the point of this parable, the disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. See, Jesus Christ is the one that we follow. Jesus Christ is our leader. He is our guide. He is the master. He is the Lord. Don't take up his job. Don't become one of those who tries to cast the mote out of your brother's eye when you got your beam in your own eye. Don't be one of those who's got bad fruit. And he ends that section, at least in my mind. I mean, there comes a good conclusion, although it continues on, by making the point again, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? He's the leader. He is the Lord. He is the coming King. We're to live according to his will, his words, and live our lives that way. So he teaches us in this section how to live in light of the coming kingdom. And he gives a little warning in that of, don't do my job. Follow me. Take care of your own business. And don't be blind leaders of the blind. Don't be, and go back to Matthew 15 now in your mind. Don't worry about what the religious leaders are talking about, because they are contradicting the things of God by their traditions. So I think that was another beautiful and wonderful parable that I think was, again, it's a multidimensional view. It's a tapestry of understanding that you get from the different sayings and how they're used, but the context is definitely that which has to rule. Again, let's go to one more parable, and that's in John, the Gospel of John. John does not have very many parables. It's because the Gospel of John is written for the purpose of proving that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Messiah. John chapter 20. In verse 30 it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That is the specific reason that the Gospel of John is written. Go back to John chapter 10. Jesus Christ speaks a parable unto the people that are listening, and they don't get it. So he automatically goes in this section right into the explanation, because they didn't understand. And in John chapter 10, the context starts, and actually the parable also starts in verse 1. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, this is his explanation. He figured nobody was even, they were all probably like many of us are at times, dumbfounded. I don't even know what to ask about this. You know, you teach the Bible sometime and you ask if they got any questions and they just look at you and they got no clue even what to ask. But the Lord figured that out. And he comes right back and he says in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, they seeth the wolf coming and leave the sheep and flee, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command have I received of my Father. And then all the people that were with him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees specifically, went crazy, starting saying he's got a devil, he's out of his mind. But we don't believe that. He is the door. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Now again, Christians use this section to say an awful lot of other things. You know, it's the great I am section. All different kinds of things are brought to pass. Actually, you can take verses of scripture like John 10:10 and completely introduce something that I did this for years. I mean, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then stress the worldly side of that abundance in life that God wants to provide, and that God will do all of those things. But is that what the Lord's teaching? That's what you got to ask yourself. See, you can mislead yourself if you don't read the context and find the central truth that Jesus is trying to show us, that he is teaching us. He is the Lord. Let's not be blind leaders of the blind. He is the one with the eyes. He is the one leading. He is the one teaching. Find his central truth that he's communicating, and keep the words and the verses in that context. So this is just, it's an eye-opening way to read the Bible. It's a beautiful way. It's you want to know what your Lord said, or do you want to know what somebody else thinks about what he said? You've got to come to that in your own heart. I asked myself many times, John, what do you think God thinks of your opinion? What does he think about my opinion? I just asked myself that once in a while. And you know what the answer is? He's never asked me. Therefore, I know very clearly what he thinks of my opinion. So why put our own spin on what our Lord is saying? Just read what he says. And as for understanding, to see it the way he wants us to see it. He is the one. He says here, go back to verse 1 of this chapter. I don't want to get too far away from what we're doing. He says in this chapter, he says, he that entereth not by the door, he that doesn't come by the Lord Jesus Christ unto the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Those that are thieves and robbers, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's not talking about the devil and all his other, it's talking about those that do it any other way except the way that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the door, is doing it. I mean, of course, the devil and all of that which is behind those things. But get the Lord's point. He is the thief and the robber. But he that entereth in by the door, he that comes through me, is the shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. And they know not the voice of the stranger. That particular parable, Jesus Christ is the door of the sheep. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Those of us who do it his way, they'll hear. The sheep will hear his voice. And they'll flee from the stranger. When he explains this, he goes even further. Says, and really in my understanding, he does. He takes from this parable that he speaks and gives the explanation of. And then he really expands it, talking about that he is the good shepherd, that he's going to give his life for the sheep, and that this is the purpose of his life. And that not only that, but he has more sheep than just this fold, which happens to be, by the way, you and I. Because there are many who believed that are not in front of him. And specifically, he was speaking to Israel, and I think this is also a clue that it's talking about the Gentiles that would come in later. I mean, and they would be one body. Great truths that he laid out, tremendous, beautiful things. And they did not get it, and I'm very glad that he decided, because I don't think I would have gotten it either without his explanation. I would not have gotten those deep and wonderful truths. And again, my point is, be more concerned about what his teaching is about. Hit the central truth that he is bringing forth. And remember, when you interpret a parable, I really believe you find the great central truth, like he is the door, he is the way. And then all the other truths that you see in the parable have to stay in harmony with the central truth. You don't want to go off the planet Pluto when, you know, you just don't want to go places that he's not going. You don't want to start to interpret those scriptures about those other truths that are not dealing with the same subject, same context. Another wonderful parable, the parable of the Good Shepherd, the parable of the I am the door. We have done an awful lot of wonderful work in this class, and I've enjoyed thoroughly sharing some of these great things with you. These are the truths that Jesus Christ said when he made known, when we started out here in Matthew chapter 13. In fact, why don't you go there again? In Matthew chapter 13, when he started to speak to these individuals in parables. If you remember, the reason that he spoke in parables, was because there were an awful lot of people that were following him and listening to him that were not hungry for the things of God at all. They thought that he was a bastard child. They had no respect for him. He was simply an oddity to them. They were curious only. The Pharisees, the Sadducees had already determined that they wanted to get rid of him. So he started speaking to the multitude, and he spoke to them in parables. And we spent in our first session, I think, a good amount of time seeing why. And he used parables as a tool. He used these parables as a tool to do two things. One, for those who were simply curious, that it would hide the truth for them, that they would not know because their ears were wax gross. And for those who really did want to know, they were given to know the great mysteries of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it says in chapter 13, it says here in verse 11, "And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore spake I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And he continues on, "But they," those who really wanted to know, his disciples, the apostles, these wonderful saints that are following him and really are hungry for the things of God, "they, it is given for them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." And that's what we've seen in this class. What we have gone through, what we have read, what we have seen, these are the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It has just been an incredible thing to look at it and to see it. And he says to them here in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." And then he says to them, he gives them the explanation of the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower we looked at, and I said to you, it says in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus Christ makes this remarkable statement in verse 13. He says, "And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" I said to you, I believe in the first session of this class, the parable of the sower, or I really consider it the parable of the good ground, is sort of the foundational class parable. It's the one that needs to be understood more. If you don't get this one, you're not going to get all the other ones. After having gone through this class, I think that you should have come to the conclusion that the reason why he makes this statement is because this parable, with this teaching of you being the good ground, you determine how you hear. You determine the discipline of your life, of what ground you are. The kingdom of God, it could bounce right off the top, just like on the hard ground, the stony ground. You can hear that word, but if it's got no place, if there's no earth, then the word is heard, but there's no understanding. It's taken away. those who have their lives, those who live their lives and allow the world and the pleasures of the world to choke the Word of God from them, they don't bear fruit. Those who have no depth of ground, it springs up quickly, they receive it with joy, but then it withers away. Those who hear the Word of God, he teaches in this parable, those who receive it in the good ground, they receive it with a good and honest heart. You choose how you hear. You, because see, if you don't get this, you won't get any of the others. I used to think in terms that the Lord must have been speaking like, this is how all parables are to be interpreted. I was thinking in a technical way. I was thinking in a biblical research way when he said this. But that's not how the parables are. The parables are alongside. The truths are, this truth in the senses world is alongside and explains this which is going on in the spiritual. Jesus Christ, his message here when he says in Mark chapter 4, he is simply saying, if you don't take heed, take this parable, you don't get this truth, you won't get the others either. You have to determine how you hear. What kind of ground are you? Are you going to receive the word of the kingdom of God with a good and honest heart? Are you going to receive it and allow it to grow to the end that it bears fruit and not let anything else get in the way? You choose. That is one of the great, great lessons that I learned from studying these particular parables. What have we learned? I would like to just review some of the things that we have learned. First of all, I believe that in general, you can take the parables as we have seen them, and like I said to you, you can look at them, same truth from different directions. Jesus Christ gives multiple parables about the same subject so that you can see it from almost a three-dimensional view. You know, get to see a truth from more than one point of view. He's building a picture, a tapestry of the great mysteries of the kingdom of God. Most of these parables are broken down into three aspects or three categories. They're talking about the nature of the kingdom itself, the nature of the king, and also the responsibilities and the character of his subjects. All of these parables, now don't take that to an extreme. Those are three major categories. There are others in there that you can see also. And some of the parables do multiple of these things in each parable. But those three major categories are basically where these parables are. Concerning the kingdom itself, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, we see the kingdom. The kingdom is, as God has laid it out, he has spread out, as the husbandman, he's spread out the good seed, but there's an enemy. There's an enemy in this life which also sowed in the same field, the field of the world, the tares, the children of the evil one. Both are going to grow together until the harvest. And the reason for that decision was to spare those who were his sons, so that there would be no damage to them. God is persevering through this whole time so that there's no damage to his children. But at the end, at the harvest, there'll be a separation. There'll be a judgment. We get to see that about the kingdom. We also get to see in the parable of the mustard seed that the kingdom starts out small, but then all the creatures of the earth dwell in it. We also see that like the leaven, the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom, is that yeast, you can't even see that yeast. it pervades the whole thing. Every place is affected by that little yeast that you can't hardly separate out from the dough. And it grows throughout the entire earth. Another aspect was what was taught in the good seed. The good seed is the Word of God. That seed is put into the earth. It grows. Its growth may be beyond our ability to comprehend, but it is directly related to the seed. This kingdom, this word that's being spread, the gospel of the kingdom, this is what makes the whole thing grow. It's the word that has the power to give life. It's the word that causes the kingdom to grow. We also saw in the pearl of great price and his hidden treasure, we saw the great value of the kingdom. We also saw in the dragnet that its spread of the kingdom draws in many, but the wicked will be separated out and judged. The kingdom will be taken from those who should have received it, and it will be given to those who appreciate it. We saw that in the parables of the wicked vine presser and the wedding feast and the barren fig tree and the great supper. Those central truths concerning the individuals in the kingdom, his subjects. It talks quite a bit about them. In the sower, what kind of ground are you going to be? How are you going to hear the word? The householder, those instructed in the ways of the kingdom, have treasure, both old and new. You got the treasure. They, talking about the disciples of the kingdom, talking about his servants, it says they should be as merciful as God is merciful, the forgiving servant. They are to labor for the same wage and not be jealous of someone who labors longer or less. And that's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. They will do the will of their father, the parables of the two sons. They are to prepare themselves for the Lord's return and are watchful, the wise and the foolish virgins. They are productive while they await the Lord's return, the parable of the talents and the pounds. Their gratitude for salvation is related to their understanding of their forgiveness, the parable of the debtors. They love their neighbor, helping those in need, the parable of the Good Samaritan. They are persistent in prayer, the parable of the friends at midnight and the persistent widow. They are aware of one's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions, the parable of the rich fool. They are humble, both in their relations with each other and with God, taking the lower place parable, and also the Pharisee and the tax collector. They are to steward their lives according to God's word, the parable of the unjust steward, knowing that now is the time to make things right with God, because we don't have forever, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Yet, through it all, they know that they are unworthy of the grace received, as they have simply done that which is their duty to do only, the unprofitable servant. Concerning the king himself, the parables that show us what the king himself is like, we get to see him in many of the parables, even the ones that we have just read. He is the householder. He is a lord. He is the one who owns the farm. He is in so many of the parables, he is portrayed. But the ones that I think hit our hearts the most is he is the father. of the prodigal son. He is the one who entreats his children, and we see him as the great king, the forgiving father who loves his children. We also get to see him and how he cares for those who are lost with the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And also in many, many of the parables, he is also the righteous judge who will set things right at the end, who will lay out judgment on those who are both righteous and on the ungodly. They will all get their due. These are the things of the mysteries of the kingdom of God that the parables have shown us. As we close this class, there is another section of scripture that I would like to share with you. I would like you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. After we've seen all of these great and wonderful truths concerning the gospel of the kingdom of God and the great mysteries in this class, in the first teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the Sermon on the Mount, it's called commonly, in his first teaching, he teaches us in that teaching, which is from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through to the end of chapter 7. He teaches us how to live in light of the kingdom coming. And one of the parables, which is not named as a parable, but it is a parable, there are two parables here that I think are extraordinary. And I really wanted to end this class on this note, because our Lord says in verse 13, after he teaches them the blessed attitudes that a believer is to have, he says to them in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, having lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our Lord teaches, he says, you are. This is like that. Same truth. In fact, in Luke, the city on a hill is called a parable. It's not called one here in Matthew. But the same truth. You are the salt of the earth. This is what you are. You are, and I believe salt, you can do it from the Oriental custom and culture of the day. Salt was for healing. Salt was used for commitments. It was that which preserved. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, if it loses its savor, what's it good for? You are that which this world needs, but if you lose that which you are, what are you good for? Salt is good for nothing, just to be thrown out on the road, use a little landfill, pothole filler. This goes very much along with another parable that I didn't teach, which is in John chapter 15, where Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. And if you don't stick in me, there are other parables in this that you really ought to as you read the Bible. I didn't cover them all. But if you don't stick in me, if you don't stay in me, you're as good as firewood. See, you and I are the salt of the earth. He expects his disciples, his people, to be worth something. But if you lose that, what your purpose is, if you lose your commitment, you are good for nothing. And all that's worth of your life is to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. Jesus Christ also says, I am the light of the world. He says to you and I, we are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give forth light unto all the house. Keep your commitment, and since you are the light of the world, you have a job to do. Your light is to shine. The purpose that you've been given, the thing so many of the parables teach us, that we are to be the good servant, that we are to be the steward of what the Lord has given us. We have the truth. We have the truth that you've been given in this class, the great mysteries concerning the kingdom. Let the light shine. And why? So that you can look good? No. He tells you right here, keep your commitment, let your light shine. That, in verse 16, the second part, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is the purpose of our lives. In Ephesians, it says that we are to be to the praise of His glory. This is the purpose of our life, ladies and gentlemen. Let us keep it in our heart. Let us do everything that's possible in our lives. Let us ask for God's help every day to be that light, to keep our commitment, to never do anything that disgraces our God, because He deserves it all. God bless you. And it's been an honor and a blessing to share this class with you. Gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Father, for all that You have given to us and all that You have shown us, for the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for all that He has done, for all that He has taught. Continue, my God, continue to help us to be the good ground. Deliver us, Father, from the temptations that we're surrounded with and from the evil that so comes our way. Help us, Father, to live in light of this wonderful kingdom coming. Help us to keep our eyes on that great and wonderful day and to stay ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to serve You, my God, and keep these things in our hearts and in our minds as we walk and glorify You. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.